So our gospel today always comes around in our lectionary every 3 years, right around stewardship season. And this year is no different. We'll be sending a letter out this week that I'll talk more about later. But while it's tempting, I think, to hear this, to hear about paying to Caesar what is Caesar's, paying to God what is God's, and to loop that into our sense of giving to a parish or to our church, I don't think is entirely accurate to the reading, to what Jesus is doing, to what this passage is about. And don't get me wrong, I'm happy to hijack lessons to preach about grace and love. I just don't do it for money as much. You know, it's just where I live. But to give a little background for today's gospel, it might not make too much sense what kind of trap is being kind of set for Jesus here by the Pharisees and their disciples and the Herodians coming and asking him, should we pay taxes? So to understand a little more of the background of the story, if you're not familiar, there was a lot of consternation, a lot of frustration with the people of Israel and the government of, or the emperor and the power of Rome that sat over top of them. You see, they being God's people had been oppressed for hundreds of years and had been under someone's rule for a long, long time. And what they were looking and expecting the Messiah to do was to come and help them overthrow that bondage, to help set them free from the power and the grip of the emperor and of Rome over their country and over their people. And in the midst of that tension and that struggle, there was this sense that by paying taxes, you were kind of betraying the people of God. Now, most people pay their taxes. Rome didn't look very kindly on you not paying your taxes. But in a public setting, where you have someone that is being called the Messiah, right? The one who's supposed to come and overthrow Rome. For that person to say, you should pay your taxes, seems to kind of assent to the emperor in a way that would have undermined Jesus' ministry in their eyes. And then on the other side, if they would have said what they expected him to say and say, no, you shouldn't pay taxes to the emperor because we're moving into a new age and I'm going to lead you into this new age, they would have been able to hand him over to the authorities as a seditionist. They thought they had him. And in the midst of this question, he asked them to get out a coin. He says, whose face and whose inscription is on this? And they say, it's the emperor's. And his response is that classic line that we've heard, given to the emperor that which is the emperor's, and given to God that which is God's. The thing is, when we really think about, if we're thinking about the stuff of our lives, right? The money, the possessions, the things we do, the things we have, the things we traditionally think of in giving. This distinction doesn't really make sense, right? Because we believe that everything is God's, right? And that we've been entrusted as stewards over creation, over the things of this world, that we would care for them while we are here and while they are entrusted to our possession, and when we are gone, to hand them off and to hopefully have done well by our use of those things. This idea and this distinction of things that are the emperor's and things that are God's doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, at least in the way that I think, at least I traditionally think about what I own or what I possess. And so when I think about what distinction Jesus is making here, what are we considering, what are we working through, it's this idea, I think, of the way in which we align our hearts, okay? There are, especially in our day and age, a myriad of things that we can spend our money on, that we can do, that we can see, that we can experience. What I have found is that if our focus is on the things of this world, the things of the emperor, to use Jesus' language, what I have found, and maybe you have found as well, is that pit never gets filled. I can give to the emperor, and there will always be room to give. It's insatiable. Like the reality of this world, the demands and the pressures, at least that I feel, living in this world, I hear it all the time from folks. You know, when we feel that we have this good job and we're doing all right, but it just seems like if we just had a little bit more, if it was just, it's just not quite enough. Like, I talk to so many people, and I have experienced this myself, where it just feels like no matter how much we have, there's this sense, oftentimes, that we're just this far away from really making it. And I think that's the trick. The trick is it doesn't matter where you are, because for some reason, billionaires feel that way too. Man, I'm only the 9th richest person in the world. I just haven't made it yet. And even when you make it to be the richest person, you're stressed out about staying there. Our world is really good at convincing us what really matters is more. And more is better. And when we get more, we'll feel better and things will be better. What I believe God offers us when he says, give unto God that which is God's, is that when it comes to the things of God, we are invited to give everything. We don't have to. It's up to us what we give, what we hold on to, how tightly we hold on to the things in our lives. But we're invited to give. And what I have found is in the giving, in the focus, in the posturing of myself towards the things of God and wanting to invest that which has been given to me, both financially and just personally, I find an opportunity for service and for life and for joy. I find I stress out the least about how much I have when my focus is not on how much I have, but what I get to do with what I do have. The economy of God is a weird one. And it's one I will probably spend the rest of my life trying to negotiate and suss out and make sense of. But what I keep finding is the more that I give, the more that I have. And it doesn't make any sense. And I don't mean this in a prosperity gospel way. I don't mean like give all your money away and you'll have more money. That's not what I'm talking about. Please don't mistake me. What I'm talking about is in general, when I give of my heart, when I give of myself, because let's be honest, that is what God desires, right? When we talk about what is God's, it's us. We were created to be in relationship with our God. What makes sense for our very being is to be in relationship and communion with one another and with God. When we talk about give unto God what is God's, that's us. And I find when I give myself to God, there doesn't seem to be an end to the reserves and to the resources that I have. When I share my love with others, I don't have less love. When I forgive, I have not lost anything but gained. There is nothing I can think of within myself that God calls to me and desires and asks me to give that is reduced in the giving. Now, I think we can get into trouble because I think a lot of times what we end up doing is we think, oh, what it means to give to God is to do everything we can to serve everyone around us until we're just exhausted and like tired and have nothing left. I think that's a different thing. I don't think that's what God is talking about. I don't even think that's what God calls us to. In my experience, the times that I have done too much and I have worn myself out and I've been exhausted, it's because I'm doing something because I feel I ought to be doing it. Because I think that's what God really would want me to do, because I think God would be happier with me if I do those things. Because somehow I'm a better person and a better Christian if I'm exhausted at the end of the day after serving all these people who need something. I know plenty of ministers that do this. I know plenty of ministers that have burnt out and that are no longer in the ministry because they devoted their lives to just emptying themselves in a way that I think just crushed them. Maybe you've experienced this kind of thing too. I've met lots of people in my work at SHIM and in other nonprofits where you just know those folks who just give every ounce of energy they have and they get worn out. I can't speak for them. I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself when I say that the times where that has been my experience, it's been that way because I have been trying to prove something. When I am living in a space where I am giving out of the invitation that God has set before me, when I remember the words of God to my heart that says, you are okay and you are loved. There is nothing you need do for me to love you more. When I can believe that, and then instead of trying to use my energy in order to please God, I can use my energy to serve God. I'm able to say no when I'm too tired to do something. I'm able to take a step back and to be a little healthier. and the things that I do. And somehow the things that I do have the energy to do are more satisfying, more gratifying, and more life-giving than anything else. The Pharisees came to Jesus and they wanted to trick him. They wanted to find a trap for him so that they could either arrest him or have him arrested or have the people lose faith in him. I think we are faced with that challenge every day, right? We're faced with choices and decisions and things in our lives where we can choose the things of this world and we can turn away from the things that God has offered us, or we can turn and receive the good gifts that God has given us. For me, it's a constant struggle. It's not an easy thing. As satisfying and as edifying and as life-giving as my experience and my relationship with God has been, I still find it so easy to buy into the idea and to the economy of this world that says I need more, that says I don't have enough, that says I'll be happy when I get this, whether that's a thing or an accolade or praise, whatever it is. What I mean is this. The ways in your life in which you feel the need to prove yourself, both to God and one another, maybe even to yourself, I get where that comes from. I live in that day in and day out. But what I have the opportunity to offer is this, and that is that that is not God's economy. God doesn't need you to be exhausted. Doesn't need you to do a whole lot of things in order to please God. Doesn't need you to follow the commandments for following the commandments' sake. Doesn't need you to be a good Christian. In fact, I'm pretty sure God has no idea what a good Christian is. We're Christians. We're people who follow Christ. We look to the cross for life and for resurrection. It's there for you and it's there for me, and there is nothing we can do to earn it. It is freely given. So whatever you bring with you, if anything today, that you feel this weight that if only I did blank, I would be okay. Please hear that you are okay right now. God's grace and righteousness through Jesus Christ has made you and declared you righteous. There is nothing more you need do. The part of this world that tells you you need to do more in order to be loved, in order to be forgivable, in order to be valuable, that's a lie. You are of infinite value and worth and beauty. God delights in you. There is nothing that you can do to chase God away. The things that we do when we give unto God that which is God's, it's not an obligation. It's not a requirement. It's not the box to be checked. It's the way we were created to live. And when we live that way, we find joy, we find peace, we find mercy and love. We find the strength to share that with other people. And when we find in the sharing that we are not depleted in those things. There's a reason that we use fire to symbolize and to mark the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's because you can always have more fire. Lighting a candle from one of those flames will not diminish that flame at all, they'll both just burn brightly. And the fuel that fuels that comes from our God and comes from the love that God has placed in us as a free gift. If you're anything like me, you're faced with the question, should we pay taxes to the emperor or not on a daily basis? How am I going to use the resources that I have? And I would encourage us to try to turn away from the trap that is this world's encouragement for more, or to define or to earn our value and our worth. And to start the practice of becoming more and more comfortable with a God who loves us already, with a God that is inviting us to give everything that we might have life, and that we might be renewed, and that we might find joy. I count it a tremendous honor and blessing to serve and worship with you here every week, every day. I have been just tremendously and infinitely blessed by our relationships, by our worship together, and by the opportunity to stand, to preach, and to lead this congregation. I will be the first to admit I have spent many days in that office feeling the pressure and the weight of all the things I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing, all the ways in which I could be doing this better, and all the ways that I just come up short. A lot of priests like me, we live and die by how many people show up on Sunday, by how much money is given week to week. And that's falling into the trap. That's not what God worries about. God cares about you and cares about me. God rejoices when we respond and come and gather to worship. And when we have other things going on, God delights in us there too. It's not our job to save this world. It's not our job to save ourselves. That's what God offers, and He's done it already for you and for me. All we need to do is receive it and let it change the way in which we engage and interact with this world, to let it set us free to go and do the things as God has promised and given us to do. And so I invite you into that today. I invite you to let go and to leave at this altar and at this cross anything that you might be carrying with you, any burden that you feel makes you less lovable, less forgivable, less valuable, and to receive the body and the blood, the bread and the wine that reminds us that we are of infinite value and worth, and that God delights in you and me. Amen.